Welcome back to the Mutrix Firm Injury Lawyers Podcast. I'm Tyson Mutrix. I'm your host, and I'm the owner of Mutrix Firm Injury Lawyers. And today, I've got a special podcast episode for everyone. And this is with a client, Eric Werner. And Eric is also a friend of mine, and he has graciously agreed to do this. We are 5 minutes out of a mediation where we just settled the case. And so, Eric, first of all, how are you feeling?
Hi, Tyson. I'm feeling very very relieved. I think this is a case that has been going on for nearly 5 years. So there is some sense of relief that it's not something that I have to think about anymore. That's something that I know is going to be behind me, and it's not going to be part of my story anymore. Because it, you know, like I said, it was almost 5 years ago that this accident happened. So it's nice to just be able to, you know, close the door on it and put it away.
Yeah, and let me give, you know, people a little bit of background as to the case. It's a car crash case. It did happen about 5 years ago. We settled one part of the case quite a while ago. It was against the other driver. And then the second part of the case was the underinsured motorist part of the case, where it was your policy, it was against your insurance company, State Farm Insurance, and they were offering very little prior to us filing a lawsuit. And then we decided to file the lawsuit, and you know, that was filed pre-COVID. So and then all of COVID happened, so things got dragged out a little bit, and then we were able to finally just mediate it. So we just did this via Zoom. Many mediations are done in person. So what we're, I guess, going into it, so before I get to, you know, what your thoughts were on the process, but going into it, I guess, how did you feel about it?
I think it's difficult, you know, with Zoom, because, you know, when you have anything in person, you can, you know, I think people on both sides can take cues from the other people. So, you know, if I know you're in separate rooms and such, but, you know, the mediator or the people, you know, you can, I think there's more hesitation and more maybe resistance or inability to sort of move, because, you know, you know that the other party is just right next door. So I think with Zoom, it allowed a greater sort of room for to put people at ease. You know, you're doing a mediation instead of having a mediation in a conference room where, you know, you're at a law firm, you're doing it from the comfort of your own home or, you know, wherever you choose to do it. So it at least put me a little bit more at ease, because, you know, I was sitting in my living room, you know, with my dog, and, you know, was able to feel more comfortable and expressing, you know, how I was feeling, because, you know, I was in a comfortable surrounding.
You know, I didn't really think about it from that perspective. I think that's a really interesting perspective. And I'm generally opposed to Zoom when it comes to mediations, because I don't think that they're really that effective. But you make a really good point, though. Whenever you are in the comfort of your home, it actually could be way better for clients. So I think that's a really good point. I didn't think about that. Because it is an uncomfortable thing. I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's really uncomfortable with these mediations where it's in person, because you sort of run out of things to talk about, right? So you're sitting in the room and you're waiting. There are times where, and we did a lot. We did this mediation in two parts, right? We had the first part of the mediation 2 weeks ago. Both parties agreed to continue it because we weren't able to reach an agreement at that time. We had a lot of phone conversations between then and now, and then we finished it up this morning. And when we started this morning, we were getting close, but we weren't quite there. But it is, when you're in, we wouldn't have been able to do any of those in person, not the way we did it with this one. So this was pretty effective. But when we were going into the mediation, I guess, what were your thoughts? Because the defendant here is State Farm, and we talked about a little bit earlier about how, like, you've been, like, all of your policies are through State Farm, right? You've been paying them every single month for several years. So what were your thoughts when it came to the defendant going into the mediation?
Well, I think specifically, you know, because I have my auto insurance through State Farm, my homeowner's insurance is through State Farm, I own a business and my business insurance is through State Farm, you know, I had some hesitation to, you know, using my, you know, essentially, suing my own insurance company for coverage that I had, that, you know, there could be, you know, some form of retaliation from the insurance company, you know, should this case settle or when this case settles, that, you know, they may say, well, you know, yes, you've been a client for 9 years and you have 3 policies with us and you've paid your premiums in full on time and you've never had a claim, but, you know, this is a claim and with a larger amount, and, you know, we no longer want to have you as a customer. So, you know, there was hesitation there, but I had some, you know, conversations with my insurance agent kind of about the same thing, and he informed me, and I wasn't aware of this, that underinsured motorist coverage is optional in the state of Missouri. You don't have to have it on an auto policy, and he, you know, did his due diligence in advising me to have that coverage on my policy for situations such as this. And it's, you know, the point of insurance is to have coverage, have the peace of mind, have coverage, but you don't use it until it's necessary to use it. And this is a situation in which it was necessary to use. So the hesitation that I had of, you know, using my insurance because I was, you know, fearful of a retaliatory, you know, experience from State Farm was kind of thwarted because, you know, he assured me and we kind of talked through, well, you have insurance for a reason and this is an optional thing on your policy and, you know, you have to use insurance, you know, when it's needed, and this was a situation that I needed to use it for.
You know, you make a great point about the underinsured motorist, so I'm gonna make a note on that really quick, and that's that everyone should have it. If you can afford it, it's fairly cheap when it comes to insurance, you should have it, because on this case, the other driver only had $100,000 in insurance, and that didn't come anywhere close to covering your damages. So having the underinsured motorist made a significant impact in this case. So I think everyone should have it. You see it quite a bit. State Farm is a really good insurance policy as of right now, which is, you know, June 11th, 2021. I'm saying that because many insurance companies are moving over to what are called set-offs, or sometimes they're called offsets, where I'm gonna give you an example of how an offset might work. Let's say that the other insurance policy, and we'll use your case for example, Eric, where let's say this were American Family policy. What American Family would have done is they would have taken, you've got a $250,000 underinsured motorist policy. They would have subtracted the $100,000 that was already paid up by the other driver, and the only amount you could have gotten through American Family was an additional $150,000. Right. So it really screws over the insured, which in a situation like this, as opposed to like State Farm, they don't subtract that part. Right. So the total amount of insurance available would have been $350 as opposed to $250. So you got to be careful who you're dealing with. Shelter insurance, American Family, Farm Bureau, those insurance companies are not very good when it comes to underinsured motorists. So make sure that you don't have that option. All right. But back to the mediation. What was it like emotionally? And I know we're probably going to end up going a little bit long here, but what was it kind of like emotionally, the back and forth when it comes to the numbers? Because they started low, we started high. Like, what was that like?
I mean, it's very, very, very trying on your emotions because obviously as a person who was involved in the accident, I have a, an emotional attachment to the experience, and every time you talk about the accident, you have post-traumatic feelings about the accident. So when you think that the accident is, you know, was significant, you know, because it was significant, you know, my definition of what is significant is and seemingly was less significant to State Farm. So I had an idea of the experience that I went through, that my family went through, you know, the experience of the entire event. And I, of course, you know, think that this accident is worth millions and millions of dollars. However, State Farm, you know, they have a responsibility to, you know, to them, the attorney has a responsibility to State Farm, and that they value it at a certain amount. So that was hard, kind of going back saying, well, we think it's worth this. And then they, you know, initially came in extremely low. And so it was sort of kind of like a kick in the gut. You're like, well, I think, how in the world can they think that this is worth less than this, because they didn't go through it, that they're just looking at it as a number. So that was difficult. And, you know, the fact that it didn't, you know, that it went on for more than, you know, more than one session was, you know, it's kind of like having a Band-Aid and something started to heal and you rip the Band-Aid off and then it, you know, then it has to heal again. So that was a difficult part.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this, how it, you know, they try to wear you down, right? It's one of those things where they kind of, you get exhausted by the process. They try to, you know, wear you down over a little bit of time. And so we've talked about that in the past. But as we started to get closer to a final number, and as we actually, you know, eventually were able to reach an agreement, I guess, what were your emotions like whenever we got to that point?
I think, first of all, you know, the wearing down kind of part is something that I think that you did a good job of preparing me for, you know, that, you know, just because they come in, you know, at X amount doesn't mean that that's the end all be all to know that there is a course to be, you know, stay the course, and that you know, some of the emotions that you have to kind of sort of table those emotions. But once, you know, once things started to get close, it was hard, because, you know, the incremental changes were small. But one point that you made to me prior to this is, you know, you don't want to, you know, fight over pennies. And so if you're going from $1,000 to $1,500 and you're not willing to, you know, take that difference or, you know, not change $500, then, you know, you don't want to be greedy in the sense that you're not going to change something over $500, because at the end of the day, you know, $500 or whatever those small incremental changes are not that significant. It's, you know, it's kind of like when you purchase a home and your home's $250,000 and you don't want to go to 260, but, you know, over the course of a 30-year loan, $10,000 is nothing. So you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah. And it's one of those things also you got to factor in. You know, there are mediator, Kim Kern, she did a great job and she explained this. She says, you know, my fee is $400, right? $395 an hour, right? So, you know, every hour, if we're fighting over $1,500, which we didn't get to this point, but she just was making sure that she explained that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to spend 3 hours fighting over $1,500 whenever you're paying her $395 an hour to fight over it, you know? So, there are multiple things to take into consideration at that point, but, and, you know, you never got to that point. I thought you did a great job. I thought you were very reasonable. I thought you were very patient, which was good. That's what I asked for. And you did a really good job. But, I told you this was going to take 10 minutes. We're already over time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the last word. Anything else you want to say? I'll let you say it and we'll wrap things up.
I think the only thing I can say is, you know, you have to trust in the process. You know, I certainly couldn't have gone at this alone. And you have to be confident that you hire people that know what they're doing to do the things they're supposed to do. So, you know, I don't know anything about fixing cars, and I sure as heck wouldn't want to try to change my own oil. So I hire a mechanic to do that, because that is what he is an expert in, and I trust that he knows what he's doing. The same situation here. So know and trust in the process, trust that you have the people on your side to do what they are trained to do, and let them do what they're supposed to do, and everything should turn out the way it should.
Excellent advice. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. I want to remind everyone to go to the YouTube channel, Metrics Firm Injury Lawyers. If you have any questions, or we have a lot of explainer videos there, make sure you like our Facebook channel, where we have a Facebook page where we have a lot of great information we share every day. And then also follow us on Twitter, where we also share some other great information. Eric, thanks so much for being willing to share this, man. I'm sure it wasn't easy to do, but thank you so much, and congratulations on settling your case.
Thanks, Tyson. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you.